yo recibo. ¿Le cae? And I remember, ladies and gentlemen, can you start speaking so that you can start our meeting? Okay, thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. Honorable members, again today we are having quite a long day because today we'll be entertaining three presentations from our entities. But the way I know you, honorable members, and our entities, I hope we'll be able to manage time. We'll be starting with SACE, where SACE will be having 2 hours. We can appreciate that if the presentation cannot take more than 40 minutes from SACE, so that the rest of the time will be when we are engaging with the presentations, where members can satisfy themselves on the discussions, questioning, and the inputs that we'll be getting from the members. But now, we'll be beginning with SACE. Let me welcome you, SACE, together with the department, because we do have officials from the department. Just to indicate that SACE, yesterday we did have a presentation from the AG's office, where even the picture of your performance, all the entities that you have in the department, we did get a picture even on SACE yesterday. And I would love to say this, but it's a pity that we are a little bit disappointed that we see a regress a little bit with you, SACE, taking it from 2013, 2014, now 2015, where you are at EMBA. Yes, in as much as you did get an unqualified report, thank you very much for that, but these findings that always accompany your report now, we are saying let us look at them and discuss them and say how best can we make sure that in future we always remain in green as we always know you. Sometimes this amber color that is always, we are always associated with, leaves a little bit of a concern, but otherwise really we know that your audit report, you did get an, the unqualified with those findings that we'll be discussing today is to say what is it that we can do to clean up and make sure that our entities just perform, you just become clean. Otherwise you know SACE that you are very much interested in your functions. When we talk of code of ethics, professionalism, teacher development, you know that we are always very much interested to know what is happening, because that is where we believe as a committee is the core of the department that you are laying the oversight over, and we know the work that you have been doing there. So we'll be happy, we'll be hearing today on your presentation, how far have you gone and what is it that you can take further when it comes to that. The targets that you have set, we have started the documents, but I always say when we give you a chance to do your presentation, it's just for formality's sake that you have to say something, but yeah, the committee is ready to engage with the documents. Thank you very much for making sure that we received all your documents and your presentation on time. That gave us ample time to sit down and prepare for such a meeting. So I won't waste a lot of time. Honorable Davis, for your sake, I will allow the delegation from SACE to introduce themselves, and I will only introduce you, otherwise they know all these faces. We have been joined by a new member, Honorable Davis, who is now the member of our committee, Basic Education. Maybe Honorable Davis can just shortly introduce himself, then allow CEO from SAIS to lead us on the introduction so that the honorable ladies can learn to know who is here, so that he can get used to know our entities and the leadership thereof. Thank you so much. Can I hand over to you, Gavin?
Thank you, Chairperson. I really appreciate that. My name is Gavin Davis. As the Chairperson said, I'm a new member of this committee, so I've got a lot to learn, but I'm very much looking forward to working with all of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to the honourable members and our colleagues, and also to our leaders from the Department of Basic Education. Chair, once again, it is an honour for us to be here to receive your guidance and your critique, as we always appreciate. In my delegation, starting from my right but one, is Mr. Basil Sneyer, and we have specially asked him to come today because he is the chairperson of our internal audit committee. Then we have Mr. Polo, the chief operating officer, who is in charge of ethics and registration, particularly besides the other duties. I'm Reg, the CEO of SAIS. On my left is Mr. Mapindani, he is the Chief Financial Officer of SAIS. And then we have Ms. Mokalani, who is our Senior Manager in Planning, Policy, Research, Professional Development, which gives you an idea of her workload. Chairperson, I do appreciate your opening remarks, and definitely the CFO will spend a few minutes on telling us a little more detail about the audit observation, which we are very mindful of, although they have been corrected, but I think the members need to know exactly what was corrected and where there were the shortcomings that didn't give us the green light, and hopefully the next time we will have the green light. Chair, I will speak for about 15 or 20 minutes, after which the colleagues will add a little more detail. We've also tried to go beyond just giving you the report of 2014-15. In light of what you have raised previously in our meeting, we've also given some idea of where we are going. So you have a good idea that we indeed are taking up the points that have been made here. I will go to the presentation and speak to the presentation, which basically is a paraphrasing of the annual report. And I want to start off with the first slide on the highlights of the chairperson's forward. The chairperson has apologized because of union activities. But I think it's important that we reflect a bit on what the chairperson had to say, because they are the ones that represent the council. In terms of our achievements, she observes that now we have a far stricter way of doing registration. The requirements are increased. Professional development has now become a compulsory program for all teachers. It is on its way, and you will get details. We now have a very much more streamlined method, she observes, of code of ethics, because we work very close with the departments of education to cut out overlaps and questions of double jeopardy. Then we have now got our researchers who assist us far more in terms of a better budget that is now going to research to assist not only with SAIS professionalism issues, but general needs of the teaching profession. And in the coming year, of course, we have adjusted our program more to suit the requirements of the system besides the requirements for professionalism. Then we have a multifaceted approach for outreach. Outreach is becoming a big issue. In terms of infrastructure, we now own the building that we are at. It's a 5-story building in Centurion, and we have also rented now offices in Durban and Bloemfontein. The Durban office was officially opened last week by the MEC for Education and the HOD for Education in Durban, and the one in Bloemfontein opens Monday, and the council is quite strong about wanting to open another 3 offices by April 1 next year, and the remaining 3 towards the end of that year. So council is quite on its track to make sure that we are far more visible and take services closer to our members. The staff complement is growing, but definitely nowhere near the satisfactory number that we need. But in terms of the constraints that we have, we are managing with the staff that we have. If one is interested and does a comparative study of councils that do similar work in South Africa and internationally, one will realize how SACE is actually managing a huge task with constrained resources, especially in terms of staff. But we battle along. Internationally, we have marked our footprint very well. As we speak, we have a delegation from Zambia that is going through how SACE does its work, because they have just set up a council a year or so ago on our prodding, because we are leading what is called the African Forum for Teaching Regulatory Authorities, and which started with 2 countries, ourselves and Nigeria. And through our efforts, there are almost 20 countries now that have teaching regulatory authorities, simply trying hard to promote teacher professionalism and the holistic development of our learners. Teacher professionalism nowadays we see as 2 sides of a coin. One is requiring teachers to fulfill obligations of the profession, and the other is also being appreciative and supportive of teachers. It is a new dimension that we have added in the last year that we feel was missing in the general interaction of teachers, the appreciation and the support of the work that teachers do. Because council feels that as a system, we are not doing enough in that area. There are a number of challenges that the chairperson has identified, as you will see in your annual report. But one thing is that while we are still battling to increase our financial capacity, and we will succeed, we are very grateful to the government, to the Department of Education, because they have given us a grant, and we also have a commitment now, thanks to the Department of that grant being secured with inflation for the next 3 years to do our work in terms of continuing professional teacher development. The department also, I must say to this portfolio committee and the honorable members, have been going the extra mile to make sure that our strategic plan and our APPs are very much aligned to each other, and they are modernized in the way that is required. So we are hoping that when we come around the next time to present APPs and strategic plans, they will be 100% in line with what the requirements were. The department has offered the services of its own department to assist us, and over the last 2 quarters, we have been taking that advice and we have been doing well. There are other challenges. But the one, again, that to remind ourselves is the weak systemic approaches to teacher appreciation, well-being, and support. And we will say a little more about that. Then, Chair, we have now, Ella on the next slide, increased budget for outreach. And the finance section is busy now doing a feasibility study for our remaining offices, and we'll even look at the possibility of, in the not too distant future, of purchasing some of these offices, because you find that after you've paid rent for 10 years, you could have owned these properties. So it is a matter that council will look at, and we shall give you an update when we get back to you. Council has interrogated the critique from some quarters that these offices are a waste of time, and council has reaffirmed that it will continue establishing provincial offices, because that is the way in which it feels that we could spread professionalism and reach teachers. The international interactions with AFTRA, as I told you, we have the Teachers Council from Zambia here with us, and they will be having the next conference and the round table, which happens every year in different African countries. And we are also part of the International Forum for Teacher Regulatory Authorities. Again, it is a body that started with a few councils, FACE, the GTC of Scotland, and one or two other councils that were established at the time, about 18 years ago. And now that group has grown again to about 20 internationally. So SAIT is a founding member even of the International Forum of Teacher Regulatory Authorities. So it is held in high esteem both on the continent and internationally, and they will have their annual conference in Ireland. I did remind you of the government grant, and it looks like in the next council, which will be in November, there will be a discussion about a new budget that will take into account the expanded role of SAIDS. Some of the points that came out of the CEO's report as well for your attention. One is that we are going out of our way to make sure that we encourage complaints coming to us where there is violence of any kind in schools, whether they are between teachers or between teachers and members of the community, or even between learners or between learners and teachers. Council is reprioritizing this as one of its important areas of attention, so that even those that will not be within our jurisdiction, we will proactively follow to see to it that they are remedied in the appropriate quarters. It has been quite saddening, especially the attacks on teachers that have taken place. So council has decided that over and above watching over teachers themselves, it is high time that we spoke out for teachers to make sure that teachers do get the environment conducive to the work that they do. Chairperson, in terms of registration, the stats are there for your information. We have registered about 29,000 educators and updated about 39,000, meaning that they have changed their status, most of them from provisional to full-time teachers. And the COO may give you a little indication about the refinement of our processes and about where we are. In terms of the code of ethics, we have been again vigilant. We had 586 complaints, 283 from the previous year, 647 were processed altogether, 222 were carried over to this financial year, 69 hearings, 56 educators being found guilty, of which 28 had suspended striking offs, 18 definite period striking offs, and 10 indefinite striking offs, which means they will never come back into the teaching profession here or in most parts of the world. I'm always asked which is the biggest violation of the code of ethics? And it's a tough question. Our stats show us that it is the corporal punishment cases. The ones that get struck off indefinitely, they are for the sexual related offenses. The ones that have suspended striking off are mainly for corporal punishment. They are fined and given a suspended striking off. The council is of the view that we need to be rehabilitative to give those teachers a chance to correct the management of ill discipline, but not to tolerate continued infliction of corporal punishment. Then, Chair, in terms of professional development, we are also going well now. We have endorsed in that period 113 providers, and we have endorsed 463 programs. The manager will be able to give you additional details about the total so far and what we have done for the year. We have put some information in this presentation that is not in your annual report, just to give you progress in the different sections so that you know where we are going in terms of the specifics. And just in terms of concluding comments, I don't want to go through all of them, but a point that we need to make to the honorable members is that although SACE has constraints of financial nature and of human resource nature, SACE has gone far beyond its mandate. And if honorable colleagues would look at the SACE Act, it gives SACE a pretty narrow mandate to do things. But we have agreed, in terms of the expectations of members of parliament, in terms of the expectations of the public, to go far beyond that. So we have expanded our mandate voluntarily by doing much more than is required by the SACE Act. It's a point that sometimes goes by and worth mentioning. Thanks again to the support that we get from the teacher unions, from the departments, from the provincial departments. We are able to add more weight to efforts towards professionalism, doing more to make sure that our teachers get far more professional. SACE, in my view then, has been doing well, and in the view of the chairperson of council has been doing well. The chairperson of the audit committee will express his view on how SACE has been doing and in terms of where SACE needs to strengthen its work. But as the CEO, I would say with confidence that SACE has been doing well and it will do better as it goes along. And SACE will definitely take into account all of the comments and advice that comes from this committee and other institutions that are interested in the work of SACE. So, Chairperson, with those opening comments, I just want to pass over immediately to the CFO to give us a few additions, but in particular, he will give you a little more specifics in terms of what the auditor has been finding as shortfalls on our side. Then I will ask the audit committee chairperson to make a few comments on what the audit committee observed from its side, just for a few minutes, because our time will finish at about 10:15. We must be mindful about that. And then I will ask the two experts to give us a little more detail on their areas of expertise. So, Chairperson, with your permission, I want to hand over to the CFO, Mr. Maurice Mapindani. Thank you.
Thanks. I would like just go directly to the points which are mentioned in the auditor's report, which in terms of the addition well in the annual report, page 76, under paragraph 16, annual financial statement. There are two weaknesses which have been picked up by auditors. Let me explain one by one. The first one is our collection of revenue, which they classified under internal controls. What happens is that the majority of our membership fees comes from the public sector, where we get it from directly from the payroll of government employed educators. So it so happens that we do get this revenue, but the members concerned are not registered in our database, which therefore, by implication, you may say we're getting wrong fees, because we didn't register the person, we can't allocate the money to an individual in our system. But we know in terms of the legislation, they were supposed to be registered. That's why we have an obligation over them, whether in terms of paperwork they are registered or not. So that on its own, we picked up more than 30,000 of them were paying us, and they were not in our system. To them, that was an issue, and we see it as an issue. That's why they spoke of internal controls. So what we did to correct that as the council, one, the council took a decision to say whether you are, all members should pay membership fee, irrespective of their situation. But when the council started, those who are unemployed were relieved from paying membership fees. And we find that we have got a group as well of those who come from outside, foreigners. They register with us. How they get the job, some don't get the job, but they're on our database. How do we collect the money? We sometimes don't get such money. So with that decision of council, how it helps us to implement it is that every month we do a monthly reconciliation of those who paid us. The moment you go to the second month and you haven't received your membership fee, we mark you non-active. Because for us to get the information whether you are dead or you are out of the country, it will take longer. But the moment you are inactive, it means when we count the number of active teachers, we won't count you. That will manage those who are paying us. It means they are active in the profession. Then the other component to keep those who are around but they are not paying is that most of them, they come in the, those who are in provisional register, they come and have interaction with us. When they interact with us and their membership status is not in good order, we won't help them until they pay the membership fees outstanding so that we are able to implement the accrual process. We have also upgraded our finance management computer system to be able to keep updating this membership fee for each and every individual so that those who are, whom we believe that they are in the profession, they are somewhere there, we are able to pick them up and we write them letters before we completely write them off at the end of the year to say, these people, we don't know whether they're dead or not. While we know, all twice a year we'll make our register with a death register from Home Affairs so that we are able to completely conclude that these ones are no longer alive. Those who are retiring will compare it with the employer. The Department of Education's register will track them, although sometimes we'll get that information later, but would have already marked them non-active. So what will be left is that the non-active, we need to clean it up as well so that we are sure what's happening to our profession. Then the second issue under supply chain is that we had a policy gap, as well in terms of the declaration of interest, which had two components. One was that the suppliers declaring that they don't have anybody within council, and vice versa, whereby ourselves as employees, we declare that we don't have any relationship with whoever supplier who has been picked up, and also to strengthen the code of conduct of supply chain officials. That's what has been picked up. But practically, when you look at what they have said, is that we continued with the quotation processes without those suppliers declaring that they don't know anybody within SAIS. It's only on the quotation part. But in terms of the bidding processes, as part of the bidding processes, the declaration of interest form accompanies the bidding documentation. So that's what has been picked up. So that on its own brings up the other points where they talk of leadership and monetary. Because once you violate what I have mentioned earlier, obviously it brings another point on its own on the monitoring and leadership. That's what it says. No, thanks, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Smeya, some comments from your side, please, regarding the internal audit report.
Thank you, Chairman. Good morning to everybody in the committee. The audit committee meets more or less about four times annually, and I think it's adequately looking at all the financial regulatory processes and procedures very carefully, and to ensure that it's in line with prescribed requirements of the Auditor General. Amongst others, the risk management factors are carefully monitored in each of our meetings, carefully acquired from the administration of SAIS. We have a resident internal auditor who presides over the planning and the preparation of all these documentation for us for our meetings. And over the month of the current financial year, we've noted that amongst the shortcomings of the administration, many of those have been erased. However, we have noticed one, and I think the SCFO has alluded to that the database and its alignment with reality is one of our major concerns. So because it has to do with SAIS's financial position and SAIS's financial ability to fund its operations. In particular, independent schools' contribution and the contributions from schools where there are school governing body posts are of concern. The external auditors have red flagged those areas time and time again. My view is that there is a gap in the way that the administration is addressing that problem. It has been raised, and the administration is, in my opinion, seriously working at that. But there are practical and physical constraints on the ground. SDP posts are very difficult to monitor. as an ex-school principal myself, one struggles to get legal backing, legal support for the requirements of teachers to, one, register with SACE, and two, there's almost a paradox there, because on the one hand, schools require the skills of people in certain posts, e.g. mathematics or physical science. Most of those teachers, or many of them, have the academic qualifications, but lack professional end of that, which means that in terms of space and its presiding over teachers, they do not have the required documentation, and therefore they are not liable, and schools can't hold them liable to pay from their salaries those monies over to SACE, because they are not registered. They may be, many of them are provisionally registered. So that's an area of grave concern, because the database cannot align itself and before all of that is finalized. And I think that's one of the areas that we are concerned, because it does affect SACE's ability to gain the required revenue. Other than that, I'm happy to report that in a couple of days' time we will be having a Think About Fox meeting, where we will finalize this year's performance of the administration. So therefore, in short, I'm happy to report that the operations of SACE are improving. The areas of concern are being erased. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Snare. Mr. Polo, time is not on our side now, so can you just take about 4 or 5 minutes to highlight the parts that the honorable members would be interested in, and also allow from your side about 5 minutes just to highlight some specifics that would respond to questions and comments that were made in the past. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good morning, members. Just to highlight on page 18 of the presentation. Page 18, which is a narrative on legislation in particular. Mainly, we can start at page 17. Just to say, what is included in page 17 is a, especially from public schools, number of educators that are paying, which in return will tell us number of educators in the provinces that are employed in your public schools. And then it will give an indication of how many teachers are there, especially in our public schools. Page 18 in particular, just to say, if you look at B, registration to data provision steps, I just wanted to explain, especially the term incomplete of the 20,287. If you look at our provisional, we have 98,000, which are all the teachers who have either a conditional registration because they don't have education qualification, or they're studying towards education, of which 20,287 of state are foreign educators. Incomplete simply means that those educators that have applied to SAFE but have outstanding documents, so we have sent a letter to them to say, for you to finish the application, you need the foreign documents. There's about 20,000 of those, because we don't send them back, because some teachers do return. So they're able then to retrieve from the system and then add whatever outstanding documents were there. And then the data cleanup is given attention, because it's something that we want to finalize by 1 December this year. Mm-hmm. And we are hoping with all the different processes from department and home affairs, we'll be able for the 2015-16 year to give a better outlook on that. The application form being updated, that is more for us to understand and help with the new mandate of veteran verification that's given for this year, 2016. So the form that you are given a place to apply currently is a very basic one. We are bulking up that form so that we're able to get more information on the teacher that's applying, so that we can be able to clean up and get their information. And I think that's about it, Rachel.
Thank you. Ella, you can just take a few minutes, because I have one more comment to make before we hand over.
Okay. So, thanks, Chair. I will focus briefly on several different issues without necessarily going into the slides, because I think members have read our achievements and not on non-achievements. One of the issues is around endorsement of professional development activities, and secondly, the uptake of professional development by teachers. And lastly, to what an extent are they reporting to SAFE in terms of what they are doing? The issues around endorsement, I think we have seen from the annual report that we reported that we've achieved around 436 newly endorsed TE activities. We are actually not happy with the current status, because it's not enough. And from our side, we've managed to work very closely with the Department of Basic Education, because we believe that the nine provinces are the main providers in terms of providing professional development. And from that angle, we are beginning to receive more and more activities coming from the nine provincial education departments, but also from teacher unions are doing a whole lot of work with regard to developing their teachers through the professional development institute. So currently, in terms of our database, we've moved quite a lot, and our overall catalog is standing at 1,400 plus of newly endorsed professional development activities. Included in the catalog, we are also looking at areas, priority areas that CEM Lehota has identified in terms of math, science, technology, etc., etc., and we are looking at reporting on a quarterly basis to the DBE in terms of how far are we progressing. Then the issue around uptake by teachers, I think in one of the slides, I think it's page 29, you would have seen that we are reporting that we are experiencing challenges with uptake of professional development. And one of the things that we've already started doing is to monitor and audit what educators are doing. We are sending out letters through our CTPD information system, so that we can do that through SMS, we can do that through email, so that teachers can begin to receive their annual report, so that it can show them to what an extent have they participated, but also to what an extent have they reported. That will assist us also to make them see that we are taking this whole process serious, and for them to start reporting what they are doing. But also, we are encouraging all the providers to continue reporting uptake, and especially the nine provincial education departments as well, and that is moving very well, Chair, as compared to what is available in the annual report. So yeah. And I think in addition to that, we are moving as a sector towards utilizing ICT, because face-to-face is not going to work 100% for us. And I think you've seen the issue around ICT strategy that the DBE is coming with, and we are working closely with them. But also the newly launched Operation Tajisa, especially the teacher development component of it, I think will go a long way in terms of making sure that uptake is enhanced. But also from the Public Service Administration, there's a whole process of e-government where they are working closely with us in terms of beginning to look at ways of addressing medium-term strategic framework output number one, in terms of how to utilize ICT to improve professional development provisioning and also professional development uptake. Thank you.
Thank you, Ella. Chairperson, allow me just to make one comment before we hand back to you. In fact, it's one word. It's spelled TAST. TAST. Teacher Appreciation and Support Program. One is of the view that this is a very important dimension that has been missing
in our education system, and fortunately, the Department of Education, Basic Education, had a very important seminar, World Teachers Day seminar, last year around about this time, where it was decided that the Department of Basic Education, in partnership with SAICE, will facilitate this program, not just for a short while, but for the medium to long term, whereby we have now adopted, with the agreement of the Minister for Basic Education, a series of activities that will show teachers our acknowledgement and our appreciation for the work that they do. Because honestly, it is our belief that the large majority of our teachers are doing good work in difficult circumstances. So this program has many facets to it. One is that we will have World Teachers Day now with all the stakeholders involved in different programs throughout the year acknowledging teachers. We have had one fun run already just to express solidarity with teachers. We are making sure that wellness programs, financial advice will reach teachers, more publications will reach teachers. The NECT, the teacher unions, the governing body associations, chairperson, are all together in this program. And maybe I will write a special memo to you, giving you the specifics of the program as it will unfold throughout the year. So it is a dimension that we wish now will address what we refer to as the systemic weakness of not listening to our teachers and attending to the problems that they have. So we will have sessions throughout the year where we will go to meet with teachers and listen to them and see how we could help them so that they could do their work better. Thank you, Chairperson. I hand over to you.
Thank you very much, Sheikh, for the presentation. Honorable members, that was the presentation. We said last year, CEO, we hope this year, and I think we have closed that chapter. We will never hear of
the B word.
I think, and today I think really, whenever we mention the word building, it will never be on what we have been mentioning throughout the years that you are coming from. Thank you very much for that. Hey, honorable members, that was the presentation then from SAICE. Can I open up for the interaction with the presentation? Can I note him? Honorable Bashoff, Honorable Basson, Alphabetical, yeah. Bosho, I am a bad teacher, you know, but it's fine. It should be Bosho, Person, Vanderbilt, Vanderbilt, Kosa, Mokoto, Davis. There is Honorable Njalwa, before these surnames that I mentioned. Mabiga, they is honorable. I prefix that. Yeah. In that order, honorable members, can I start with you, honorable Bosho?
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning to everybody once again. Thank you. Before I shoot from the hip, I have to thank the CEO for intervening with regard to that SAICE certification, and I think it is commendable. Within 5 days, the complainant had received his SAICE certificate after waiting a few months. And this is what's worrying, because Mrs. Apollo said within 7 days we receive our certificates, and that's definitely not happening, because that was a clear indication. So I would really appreciate it if we can have a look at that. And then I'm also worried about our teachers and learners having to learn the AU anthem. Excuse me. What about the South African anthem? The children aren't even conversant with that. So I think we should stick to that rather. Compulsory programs for CPDs. But we see the lack of educators participating in this, and the what is SAES doing about it? How are you getting our teachers on board to see that they do these undergo these training sessions? Because somewhere on one page I saw that there was so many educators that enrolled, but you had not achieved the figure that you were wanting to achieve. And then you say you have to increase the levies to cover your provincial office costs. If we have a look at this presentation, it's beautiful. Can I just ask how much it costs to have this drawn up and presented to us? Because if we cut on these glossary presentations, it might just persist in not increasing the levies. And then the other thing I want to bring to your attention is that you must have a look at your landline. It does not exist. And then on page 9, we speak about the persistent violence, racism, sexual abuse, etc. You keep on telling us that you're concerned about it, but we do not see any programs coming out of this. And I have to say this, Chair, on Sunday, our esteemed colleague, Mrs. DiPolo, was on carte blanche. I think it was you. And I was shocked to hear your disingenuous comment, saying that no legal obligations are there for schools, and every year we hear that you are going to do this and you're going to do that and you're going to do this, and still we see all these verbal abuses, the sexual abuses, the violence, you name it. And you said out loud that schools do not need to check against the child protection list. I know that, but how many times have you said to us that you are going to ensure that this is put in place, you're going to interact with SAS, you're going to do A, you're going to do B, and every year when you do a presentation to us, we have the same thing, we will be doing this, we will be doing that, but nothing gets done. On the carte blanche interview with you, they spoke of a teacher from Durban High School. After having been found guilty with porn, child pornography and sexual molestation, he was still teaching. Only after a few years he was struck off the list. This is just not on. And the interview was absolutely pathetic. I'm sure SAES could do much more with regard to that. CEO, you spoke of suspended educators and that you have a program in place to rehabilitate them. If you could just share with us what programs are in place. On page 9, you also spoke about full-time investigators that you are appointing. I'd like to know how many, when are they to be appointed, and at what cost. If I have to go through everything, Chair, we're going to be here until 10 o'clock tonight. So, it's very, very disconcerting, these issues that we have to raise. You speak about outreach to universities on page 21. Why do you only concentrate on those universities in and around part 10? Is it not time that all the universities were visited? Let me try and cut it down. Page 27, cases referred to SAPS. When cases are referred to SAPS, do you ever follow up to see whether these cases have been finalized, what the reason is? Why are only 2 cases referred to SAPS? Because we speak of statutory rape. If it's statutory rape, then a case has to be opened. You always give us the excuse that parents are the ones that withdraw because of teachers paying the parents a bribe, as you rightly said to us in the office last year, in the beginning of the year, Mr. Brugger. And we hear the same stories over and over. I can't. There are so many things.
CEO, you spoke about the safety of learners and teachers, that the hearings that you had and the different cases and what you want. In your program, do you have a program where you orientate teachers on this corporate dangers of corporate punishment, and how protected are the teachers from the violent learner? Sometime we heard about SASCO speaking up, Cosa speaking about fight back campaign. How protected are the learners? Because seemingly, how protected are the teachers? Because seemingly, learners are more protected than teachers. And you have mentioned that you have two buildings in two provinces. Are those your properties? Are they bought or are they renting? And how far are you to establish other offices in other provinces? On the screening and setting, how far are you with that process? Because we have been speaking about that generally, and even for foreign teachers. This CPTD program, just for interest sake and for monitoring purposes, is it possible that you can give us when do these development programs take place, when and where in each province, so that at least one and we have time you can make a change. Mr. President, as an internal auditor, yesterday when we received the auditor's AG's report, there were so number of areas where the entity was an ember on what you want. I want just to know how are the processes. You first do the internal before the books go to HG. How have you missed these findings that are so, that are incorrect, let me say. And you spoke now about FGB books, that we are concerned about the way educators are not registered with SAFE. And as the SAFE, what measures do you have in place? Because SGB both are educators that are dealing with our children, that should be also screened and vetted, because it can be, it can happen that those teachers that have been suspended are being appointed as SGB posted, and then we say they are stressed out of the room. Yes, they are some challenge of getting them to work with our children with all those serious problems. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Chief, thanks. I'll be very brief, so you won't give me a second round. Just on the finance matters, during the AG report yesterday, he analysed certain challenges where there were good and also stagnant practices or outcomes. And if you look at the performance reports, submitted performance reports, 25% were good, and 75% he reckoned needed intervention. And if you look at your financial health and your information technology, 50% was good, but 50% was stagnant. And also on your HR management as a whole, actually, it pointed out that it is stagnant. Now, I think that's got to get serious attention. The other issue is, Chair, my colleague spoke about, you know, about the sexual abuses and all that stuff that's happening at schools. But I also want to raise a specific point, and that is our LGBTI community children. Are teachers really, besides from being equipped to deal with sexual abuses themselves or their learners, or bullying, whatever, also looking at the rights of LGBTI learners? Because I've picked up across the country that a lot more problems are coming to the front amongst that particular community of children. And then just to make sure, on slide 24, there was a comment on deviations where you said SAIS experienced challenges with respect to funding. The first $4.5 million was transferred to SAIS in September 25 and the rest March 2015. Is that not September 2014? Because September was just now, and that's already in the next year. So in that column must be September 2014, and your second payment was March this year. And I also, and I think that that's just maybe myself, on page 26, are you referring to PDE? Is that the Provincial Department of Education?
Yes.
Okay, we refer to it as PDE, so I'm fine, as long as I know what it is. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not going to refer to page number since your numbering starts at page 60. But we really appreciate the report. Chair, well, from the presentation, I'm gathering that the number of volunteers outnumbers their employees. Does this not affect your performance in terms of cases? Don't you have unresolved cases due to shortage of staff or caused by the people not coming to give evidence because of fear? What are the plans in that regard to protect those who will be ready to come and give evidence? Secondly, Chair, it is also reported that there is a lack of understanding from the society of the business and the operation of SAIS. I wanted to check with them as to what are the plans in place to try to make it that they are known to the public. They also reported that they interact with the media. Aren't you using that media to make sure that they popularize yourself, that you are known, and your roles in that regard? Lastly, it's on financial management. What plans are in place to try to improve your capacity so that at the end of the day you be able to achieve a clean audit? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for the presentation and your question. I think maybe for those that you have achieved, you need to be congratulated on, because you know it's not always easy, as we are talking, to achieve some for everything that you have set for yourself, because at times you might think that things will go your way and they take a different direction because of the circumstances. But it does not mean that you don't have to try harder to make sure that you achieve what you have set for yourself. Patterson, the first point that I wanted to raise relates to the human resources of space, particularly in the research division. I think at some point in the portfolio committee we have raised this issue that there's a need for space to make collaborations with the other sectors that can ensure that they are able to reach the full potential, which will ensure that they are able to implement their mandate. Looking at the fact that space has to influence the sector in terms of the research that it has to undertake, I'm a bit worried to share this thing when says that they have, out of 9, achieved only five of their targets in terms of research, and there was a post of a in the research division that was left vacant for about 6 months. Maybe if you can get clarity as to what is the current status for filling up the position or the positions in that division, and the deadlines that you have set to make sure that by this you have fulfilled that indicator. The second point, Chairperson, would relate to the issue of intergovernmental relations. Knowing that the department has got a rep in this council, but we still experience issues that like funds disbursement, which is delayed. Like if you look at the CTTD program funds, they were disbursed in the following year. I wonder how are you using the regular interactions with the minister or the representative of the ministry in the board, in the council, to make sure that this is fast-tracked. We don't have delayed disbursements, which later on impact on the program implementation. Also on the issue of the provinces, I would suppose that it's an area that requires you to effectively use that closeness, the connection, to make sure that they are able to help you to persuade provinces to commit to programs of CTTD. Just in a need for clarity on that chair. I don't know, like the gentleman in front of me, I forgot his name, has highlighted that they are looking at issues that have been raised by the Auditor General. And I thought that if at all that is the situation, by this time, Chairperson, we should be having an improvement plan. At least I thought it would be part of, it was supposed to be part of the package to show that these are the issues that we raised, these are the things that we have acted upon, and this is how far, and then the outstanding ones are as follows. So is it there, and are you following it, or have you completed that part? I'm very much concerned by the issue that was also raised in the AG's report with regard to non-compliance with the Treasury Resolution, PFMA and SCM. I want to know what corrective measures have you taken to make sure that the tenders that were issued have you cancelled those tenders, the ones that were issued in an appropriate manner, or without following the right procedure. What action have you taken to correct the situation, and what action have you taken against the people that have committed to that that mistake? There are instances where it was mentioned that there are challenges on the ground. Chairperson, I needed to get clarity, especially on the issue of monitoring of the SGV pool. That, okay, fine, we understand that the challenges on the ground, sometimes they are unfathomable, but what, are you having any plan for that, to deal with those things? I think I'm going to stop there. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. And thank you to the presenters for your presentation. You noted at the beginning that the chairperson couldn't be here because of union commitments. I would just like to ask what union commitments could be more important than the statutory obligation to report to this parliament. I'd be very interested to know what those union commitments are, because I think we expect to see representatives of the council here, and especially the chairperson. This is a once-off thing every year, and we would expect the chairperson to be here. So we'd like to know what commitments are so important that they trump the commitment to come to this body. On professional development, I think we are very disappointed that we missed the target by 15,000, about 30% of professional development. So what is being done about this? And also, why is the CPTD system not part of the strategic plan for some of the provinces? And what is being done to align us with the provinces? And then my last question is on the executive management's remuneration on page 97 of the annual report. There's a column called Other, and it's about 400,000 to 500,000 rand in some cases. And some of the salaries are up to about 1.5 million in total. Can you tell us what the Other column refers to? Can you please break that down for us? And can you also tell us why the CEO did not get a bonus this year when other members of the executive management team did get a bonus? Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Though I am almost covered, but separately, I am worried about the accessibility of space by educators. I'm not sure how SACE intends making sure that it is known to its clients, because you still find educators wanting, not knowing where to go, where to find SACE. And I'm sure if it was not compulsory for all educators to join, register with SACE before they're employed, they wouldn't be talking the numbers that they are talking. If it was to be voluntary, like joining the union, they would be struggling even more. It's compulsory, but it's still difficult. You meet an educator saying, "Hey, a school so and so wants to offer me a course. I don't know where to go for faith." And I also wonder if educators are aware of what stands for, if they make that information available, if they do make educators to know the value of what they pay for. Because if you can just ask an educator what is SACE standing for, maybe they will explain that they will say SACE is more of a college to the educators than something that is meant to develop them because I'm also worried about the professional development that they're talking about. Because SESI has long been there, but it is only now that they are talking like to say there is a program for school managers, which has not reached even the first level one educators. So you want us to, what SESI has been doing for all these years. And lastly, I don't understand as to why is it taking place so long to be having offices in all provinces, because that would mean that will assist educators who are in all these provinces contributing to this to find it very easy to access the services of faith. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Somewhere in the report, there's an indication of the appointment of researchers and investigators. So I want to find out as to how many have you appointed. Are they able to assist you to what extent? Because if you look at the carryovers of the cases, it appears as if it is a norm. It says that there will be so much cases and so much will be carried over to the next financial year. So the last question will be, do you have any monitoring instrument for the staff performance vis-a-vis the carryovers? Because I'm trying to check as to you spoke about the closing of the vacancies in your report. Whereas if you have closed the vacancies, that means you have appointed more staff, but still you have the carryovers. If you can be able to take that there with us. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Chase. For me, let us appreciate the visibility that we see now in the provinces. With the two offices that have been open, we have seen the hype even on the media where teachers were appreciating, very happy that at least we see you coming in the offices, and looking forward for the 1st of April, as the CEO has said, that you are going to be opening more offices, I think, in the three provinces in April, and we hope that is going to be assisting teachers more, and with the appreciation that we have seen in these two provinces, really, we think we are getting up to that. But my question will be, again, with these offices being opened, we know they will be link between them and the subscriptions, or how do you call it, from the educators themselves. How far are you with those negotiations with the unions? I'm happy because even the chairperson is from the union, and the unions are taking place. They're very active in place, and they are part and parcel of the place, but because in the near future, really, we don't want to see a situation where there will be a standoff between states and the unions, and, you know, how far are you with the negotiations and the understanding, looking at the need of states in the provinces and everyone agreeing that you need to be there, and what is your understanding thereof with the unions on that one? When you talk of the type of cases that come up, many of them where we see sexual offences, a number of teachers being strike or strike off the role, corporal punishment, you said those, most of the time you use the corrective measures where you educate the teachers what to do and what so forth. I'm not sure. On the cases of absenteeism, it's one of the areas that is quite, you know, common when you go out to the, does it come to you as face? what is it that you do, what you do when it comes to that? Because I know with all the provinces, when it comes to the management of youth, the way teachers are absconding and the way the department is losing when it comes to that, how is the prevalence of such cases, and does it come under your attention, and what is it that you do out of that? Because really, we need to make sure that we correct this in the department so that more can be done when it comes to education. And also, I know before you always came up with, when it comes to sexual offences, treating the cases with kids, the challenges that you usually face, you're faced with as face. What is it that you are doing when those cases are in? How do you manage the cases where your kids have been sexually abused by the teachers and so on? All those challenges. Are you getting any joy when it comes to the assistance that you're always looking for as face? On professional development, CEO. I'm also concerned with the number of professional development providers that have been approved. Yes, we are not reaching the uptake from the teachers is not up to scratch. But at the same time, I'm just imagining a case where teachers can be well motivated. They all take up these programs. For me, looking again at the providers, I think it's at a very slow pace. Are we going to be managing what is happening? Why are the providers, the numbers so low? It's around 131 throughout the country. Are we, you know, what is happening when it comes to the providers of all these programs that we wish to see the teachers taking up and moving forward? What is it that can be done to make sure that we get a lot of them for, once the teachers are well motivated, they don't have a problem of having those providers. Lastly, CEO, you know, are we saying we still have a lot of, we have a number of teachers who are not registered with SAFE that are in the system? Because that will be on twofold, just to say, as the department itself, what is it that, you know, how do we employ a teacher who is in the system but not registered with SAFE? At the same time, what is SAFE, maybe the question that has been coming all over is to say, what is SAFE doing to make sure it is known? And but I believe, I thought there is no teacher that can be employed other than the SGB ones that needs special attention also. But for a teacher to be in the system not registered with SAFE, I wonder where does it slip off? What happens there? Do we still have those teachers? If so, let us come up, let us hear you, together with the department, coming up with the solutions, because those are the things that it's not acceptable. We are talking of the vetting of teachers. How do, if ever there are teachers that can just slip off and register without, and being in the system without registering with you, even the vetting part of it and so forth, that will be quite a challenge. I just want to hear more on that one, so that even the department can come in there and say together, what is it that you can do to make sure that we close that gap that we have been hearing you talking about. Okay, thank you, CEO. You may respond.
Thank you, Chair, and to the honourable members for your questions. Chairperson, I will go through a set of responses, and then I will hand over to the team for additions. And firstly, I want to talk about the chairperson's absence. Chair, there is no known stipulation that the chairperson of council has to be present at these gatherings. However, the chairperson has always tried to be part of us. And the only stipulation that we have in our delegation is that there must be people from council. And we do have Mr. Sneyaya and even myself. But we do take that comment, and I will do convey that. And the chairperson has really regretted not being here with us. Although, there is no stipulation that she should be here. Chair, secondly, in terms of the CEO's bonus, all the staff are evaluated for performance, excepting myself, because I am supervised by the council. And the council really never got down to doing it.
and I remain silent about the matter. The question of the impeaching of the AU anthem, I could have put it poorly, but it is our belief that our learners and our teachers have to, you know, show patriotism to not only our country, but to the whole of Africa, as we believe in the Council that we are citizens of Africa as well, and to try as hard as possible to learn our own anthem, for a start, as the Honourable Member said, and also to try to at least imbibe the spirit of the Union of the Anthem of the African Union, because we are also part of that. We do have now appointed full-time investigators, and we will be finalizing that. The question of panelists and volunteers is very important to say, because I think in one word, we could sort of ideally respond to all of the questions. It is just a question of money. And there is no council in the world, and even in this country, that survives on the kind of levies that we get. But we get by with that. And that is why we now have the volunteers to assist us to do evaluation of programs that come in. There are experts that come in, but they are paid a daily salary. Then we have people who endorse programs. They get a stipend. We have investigators who help us to go to the schools to find out evidence, to get evidence. Then we have panelists who are from the teaching profession and who have been referred to us by stakeholders. So they also get a stipend for the day, which the council has agreed to, which is a minimum stipend. I would be surprised if that stipend is more than 1,000 rand per case, because council is quite strict when it comes to its finances. Of course, if we had to have full-time staff, it would cost us very much more to process the cases. But now that we have got additional investigators employed, I don't know whether it's one or two more, two, we will be reducing the backlog of cases, because it worries us a lot about the backlog of cases. It is our intention to visit all universities, and maybe the report has not indicated, but we want every year to go to all of the universities and to speak to all of the students that are going to become teachers. And the question of orientating teachers so that they can respond to the special needs in schools is very dear to us. And we work with the departments of education. Over the last year, we have had very good interactions with the departments of education, because now the heads of department committee invite SAFE. And I was fortunate to be making presentations to the HEDCOM, and we also will be invited to the CEM. And now there is a much clearer understanding with the departmental officials as to what SAFE needs for them to partner us with. So that is an area that also links up with the number of activities and programs out there. There are many, many more, we now realize, and the departments have indicated to us that there are many, many programs that are being delivered to our teachers by the departments at their costs. But just because of some administration misunderstanding and miscommunication, that hasn't been coming through over. But the next time we meet with the portfolio committee, you will see that that has been corrected, and that number will jump to quite a bit, because the departments are actually doing a lot, we realize. Had it not been for that interaction in the HEDCOM and actually meeting with the departmental officials, we wouldn't have known that. And we now have agreed in the HEDCOM that we will have a structured meeting with the different heads of department in the provinces at least twice a year, so that we can cooperate on areas of misconduct, on areas of professional development, on provisioning, finding out the needs of teachers. And definitely we will take into account the question of learners with special needs and make sure that we advertise for provision.
So I think now the scenario has changed a lot, where the departments, the departmental officials, there was a disjunction actually between departmental officials and the department heads in terms of the knowledge of what SACE requires and what is to be done. But that has been corrected. And we feel that in the next year, the year ahead, we will have really good progress in terms of orientating our teachers. We did say to COSAS, we shared an interview with COSAS, that it may be a strategy for you to say to learners hit back, but it is something that the states will not accept, the teacher unions will not accept, and we will make sure and that the question of corporal punishment is dealt with. And we have raised that matter, and we will take it again to the department to make sure that our teachers desist from corporal punishment. Then, Chair, the question of the public knowledge and educators' knowledge about SACE, I think the observation is correct. SACE is not well known as it's supposed to be. And there again, we are trying now to correct that. And I think this initiative that I spoke about, the TASP initiative, will go a long way in taking SACE to the people, to the teachers, to the communities, so that SACE gets well known through more activities and our increased budget in terms of outreach. The question of funds is like the question of the building chair, the department fund. Let's not talk about that again, I plead, because that matter has been corrected. In the past, there were good reasons for the department not giving us our grant at one go. That was the only problem. And they did explain to us, and the departmental ministers, reps in our council, there are five of them, not one, did take pains to explain to council why there is a delay in states getting the money for the CDG grants. However, the previous acting DG corrected the matter once and for all, where he actually signed a memorandum of understanding with SACE that we will get our funds at one go every year and inflation related. So that matter now is water under the bridge, and we are thankful to the department for that. We have very good relationships with the departments and the Department of Basic Ed and the teacher unions. Up to this date, there has been no resistance for any decision of SACE from the side of teacher unions. Whether it is the opening of offices, whether it is embarking on CPTT programs, whether it is on a compulsory accumulation of CPTT points. Now there are new areas that have been opened up and which will be finalized. The question of disclosure of names of people who have been stuck off. The question of compulsory induction for period for teachers, we have already put that on the table. And we believe that it's because of consultations and negotiations with the unions that the SACE project is going well. So there hasn't been any resistance on the side of the unions, but sometimes the decisions do take long because unions have to go back and deliberate with their constituencies in terms of how they would abide by SACE decisions. So fortunately, we do have an excellent rapport, I would say, with the unions and with the departments and stakeholders. Up till this day, SACE has not had any confrontation with any stakeholder grouping. The AG's report, I do respect, Chair, and I was asking the CFO, do we get the AG's report? Are we privy to the AG's report? What is the protocol to this? Because I need to see the AG's report and make sure that the next time we come over here, there isn't a matter that we would be falling short of in terms of the AG's report. So we try very hard to stick to the treasury requirements and prescription, but it's like an unknown sort of monitoring that takes place, and we never get to know the specifics. So I don't know what the protocols around the AG's report. But I will give some advice maybe out of this meeting as to how those issues can be dealt with, because
One is not clear about the specifics that are indicated here, other than reading through what members of the honourable members are saying. But I will make sure that we try very hard to follow those. Chair, in terms of the SGB posts, we are now following up to see how we could make sure that those teachers are registered teachers and they are of good standing. And when we come back, we will give you our program to see how we are dealing with that. Teacher absenteeism has not come directly under our scope. It's a matter that we can take back to council because we feel that is a condition of service issue, and we feel that the departments are well placed to see that the people that they pay are coming to do the job they pay to do. Otherwise, you will find just now, faith may become everything to everybody. And we need to streamline our work to make sure that we are indeed watchdogs for unprofessionalism. We do not provide rehab or support for victims or rehab for teachers who have gone out of line, but our sanctions are such in cases teachers have to display that they have rehabilitated themselves. So sometimes a sanction makes sure that a teacher goes for rehabilitation or corrective behavior. As far as victim support is concerned, we report the matters to the welfare authorities, and then we check up to see with the victims if they are getting the necessary support that they have. SACE on its own cannot, at this point in time, provide for victim support. Then the question of managing learners in terms of ethics cases, we find that that is something we deal with the social services, especially we find when they have to appear in cases. And now the council has given me an additional mandate that I should have a separate process to deal with cases where cases have suddenly been withdrawn. Because it seems that there is a legal way in which we could reinstate those cases where you find that the witnesses have pulled back. And we are now, I have on my desk a number of cases that we shall review and reinstate to make sure that, you know, we leave no stone unturned to make sure some of these teachers don't get away doing bad things. Yeah, so Chair, those are the few comments that I want to make, and I want to ask my colleagues just to pick on the very important ones that have been raised that I have missed out, starting from Basil, and then we'll go down the line very quickly. We are well over our time, colleagues, so please bear that in mind. Thank you. Mr. Speer?
10 minutes. I think you've covered most of my application levels to me. Maybe I can just add what the chairperson said in respect of the NTB teachers who are not registered. And I think maybe answer lies some of the information shared. The collaboration with the department of education. Because I think the department has a diet from the schools. And therefore, with the assistance of state, the department and state can address the issue of teachers who land up in schools who are in fact unsuitable to be in the system. So maybe.
Justice, first of all, because I'd like to add that there are always the cases that we carry over due to the schooling system. All cases that we receive between December, January, and March, we do investigations by taking account that schools are not active between December and January. Then we settle investigation in February to March. So most of the cases that are investigated in January, February, and March most of the hearings will then fit in the new financial year. This is why you will see most of the hearings that we have from those last 4 months of the financial year will automatically then fall into the new financial year. Not necessarily that they were not indicated, but the time of reporting that comes into the office. The other part I wanted to look at was on the cases reported to FAST, as Ms. Honorable Bishop was asking. Majority of the cases do come and they're already reported. Those that were referred to are those that have been reported either through parents and they're not aware of the process, then we feel they should, or where we feel the parents are not are reluctant to help us out, we then refer those to FAST. Because you'll find now most parents are aware that if there's corporal punishment, they do take it to open a case. We'll find that by the time it comes to us, it's got a J50 form and put the police case on, so we follow up on those as well. When it comes to screening and vetting, as Honorable Person was asking, I think more of that will be explicit in the report for the 15-16 financial year, because in the 14-15 was not something that we were really looking upon. But after considering, especially what the chair was asking on whether these teachers are moving from one point to another point, that is why then vetting and verification was then made a critical point for us to focus on as the 15-16 financial year. So we're hoping that will then become clarity. When it comes to the issue of teachers not registered, I think, Chair, we have a very clear mandate now from the department, because no one who is newly employed gets to be registered without a state certificate. But what we picked up, maybe that might be one of the problems we're discussing with the CFO, is those educators that were employed with us when we were studying, because they got employed before this was established, but now only when they start employed, applying for promotional posts, then you see a number of them coming in to register. Otherwise, the process of them not registering has come down drastically.
Thank you. Three or four honourable members raised one question regarding what do we do, what has the council done in terms of the audit findings. Just not taking that shortcut, on the slide which you wrote, the auditor's report, we indicated that some policy gaps were identified and the council have already rectified that by adjusting the policies. One was the policy on the supply chain, on the interest part, and the other one was the debtors management of those who are supposed to pay the council. So those policies were adjusted accordingly. And another decision which the council took some time was to enforce the payment of every member of the membership fee, whereby if you don't pay, we mark you non-active. So therefore, in terms of our planning, we won't include those who are not paying because we are not so sure whether they are dead or they are out of the country or they have left the profession completely until we find out where they are. And even our IT system has already been improved to that level, including those who are registering in the provincial offices. While you are at the provincial office, you are working right on the database which is at the head office. So there's no other control which is different from the head office control. You just open the same the computer which is working directly on the server of the head office. So the compliance is in good order there. The second issue now is on the question was regarding the breakdown of others on the salaries. In terms of the management of things, they are given packages where they have to structure it in terms of the allowed, within the allowed parameters into different forms of earnings. So, Chair, we may not be in the position to break down each one because they are different here. If necessary, we may have to send a breakdown. Then there was the question, how much does it cost us to print annual report? We normally print 2,000 copies. We don't print more than that. Then 760 copies are come here. And the few remaining 1.2 we share with other stakeholders in the education sector. So this one costed us 92,000 to print that one. Other copies will run them black and white when it's needed to, when we think that we have got a function and we have to share it with our stakeholders. we run black and white. There was a question about whether we are renting the buildings, the space we have occupied in Blue 14 and Durban. We are renting at the moment. However, the council, when they meet in November, will discuss the future of these provincial offices. The first two that we started was sort of piloting. We learn. We set up the system using that. Therefore, the council can assess and take a decision in terms of moving forward. But the thinking which has already been shared with the EXCO is that we should, next year, we should finish with the rest. Next financial year, we should finish with the six remaining, of which even the resourcing, the council, the next council will discuss the resourcing of those, because there are human capital involved. All the facilities are involved. They require money, and the current budget may not cope with additional six. So the next council, which will sit in November, will look at that with the hope that they will finalize it, that the first six, the first three start in April, and the second three start in July next year. No, I think
thanks, Morris.
Ella, just a minute or two.
And therefore, most of them need assurance that they will be funded for them to be able to provide those activities that they are submitting to SAFE for endorsement. And obviously, as SAFE, we cannot guarantee funding because we are not even responsible for provisioning. Provisioning is sitting on the other side of the department. But since the new financial year started, we have 98 new providers that we managed to endorse. To approve, but we are still facing the problem of provinces like your Northern Cape, Free State, these other provinces, accessibility, where we are not getting providers who are able to provide in those provinces. The Honorable Davis, the issue of 15,000, those are HODs. Since the beginning of the new financial year, the number has reduced by 5,800. So we are moving with regard to that one. But again, the issue might be we are also raising, it's a moving target that you'll never be able to, especially because of the numbers that are coming from provinces, varying from the sales that you are getting from national. We've got attrition issues, we've got recognition issues. So there are a whole lot of issues that are impacting on that particular target. But we are moving nicely with regard to that particular target. Provinces that are not having CPTV as part of their APT, I think the whole process of provincial education departments being sort of compelled to report to DBE on a regular basis on implementation of the CPTV system is sort of moving them towards making sure that it's part of APT, because if it's not in APT, it cannot be funded and therefore it cannot be reported. But yeah, provinces are beginning to move in terms of making sure that monitoring honorable buses, provisioning of provincial development. Remember, providers are providing. We have a process of dealing with site visits so that we can be in a position to check whether what is they submitted in terms of endorsement is matching what they are actually providing. We have a list of providers that is selected for this financial year to do on-site visit. We can circulate them to the secretary so that you can be in a position to participate in this. I think Chief,
yes, no, thank you a lot for that. Just a few seconds, Chair. The question of tenders. Let us emphasize that there has been no observation of any irregular process regarding tenders, where we give out tenders for our major projects. The observation has been in regard to the regular service provider, for example, caterers or people that do small contracts with you.
and that there was no declaration of interest made by those service providers so that they could be put in our database. And why that happened is that because council has taken a resolution a long time ago not to do business with any member who has family members in faith. But now the audit requirement is that there needs to be a declaration by the provider, so that we are correcting. I just thought I'd correct that matter and then hand over maybe to the department if you have a comment or two.
CEO, CEO, don't take my job. Okay, now the department. A minute, please.
No, thank you very much, Chair. The address some five key issues that we have been looking into based on the comments of the previous football committee meeting. One is around the alignment of the strategic plan and the APP for proper reporting. I think there is an improvement in that regard. Secondly, as they correctly reflected on the vetting of the applications and the verification of qualification, the setting of professional standards for the profession as well as the induction processes. Lastly, is around the teacher appreciation and support programs. Those are the key issues that you will see that they should be reporting on because these comments came in during the last quarter, and that is why they don't appear, some of them here, but they will be reported upon. In terms of the improvement plan will always be reflected when we see the first quarter the report, after we've done the annual report for safe. Whether is there any improvement plan based on the annual report or those aspects. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kochane. Thank you very much for the presentation and the responses. And again, on the issue that you have raised, CEO, on the comments from the AG's office, we fully understand as the committee that you are audited by the independent auditors. That one we are clear. Maybe as the questions are raised through the AG's report, it's because we also understand that we are not audited by the AG, but they do get that report. Maybe you do have the comments from your independent auditor, but maybe it would be wise even in future to get what exactly the auditor, that connection that the auditor have with the independent auditors that you are getting. Really, that one I just want to clarify it in the room of the members, but yeah, you'll get that link. And the report that we have can be shared, but surely you do have something that the AG has said on what she has got from your independent auditor. CEO, I'm also happy that one of your council members is here who will take care of your bonus. It just cannot be left like that. At least he's smiling, so they're going to take care of it. But again, we, as a committee, we'll appreciate more to know when are we getting this new form for the educators when they apply, where you with more information. We've been talking about that. You have been promising that. Let us say next time you come on the new financial year, that is where we'll see educators applying using the new form, where you'll get more information so that you don't keep on coming to one and the same point for, you know, all over again. Let us just get that commitment just to say 2016, when they apply, they'll be using that new form, every information will be there, and it will be a little bit smooth. Honorable members, I know we're running short of time. Allow me to suggest you on the follow-ups, and let us continue with the way of putting up our questions in a written form or what. But I think most of the things that you have raised, says have clarified them, unless really, honorable members, there is someone who is saying
Yeah, unless there is a pending issue that you can, you know, I really can suppress you if you are really burning. But other than that, let me thank USAIS and give you that provision as to say, yes, the committee, when it comes to the issues of teacher development, we're dealing with ethics. Those are the things that need to be done, and we really rely on you. But again, this arm of you, of teacher development, that is where we believe is the core function of the teachers. That is where the teachers must be sure of what it is that they do professionally and on the issues of curriculum. And we really support you and plead you that those programs can you continue, can you make sure that you put all your efforts when it comes to that, because that is where we believe our teachers can be molded, motivated, and even get more confidence for them to go in front of those winners and deliver quality education. So thank you very much for the report that we have given us. Looking forward to the next meeting with you where we can see even the plans moving forward from the lessons that we have learned from this annual report and the discussions that we have been paving your way forward as to see what will be your new plans to try and look at all the gaps and the challenges that have been raised in the financial report. But otherwise, thank you so much. Go and work even on those findings that are there in your auditor's report. As we have said, as a committee, we are really happy that we are not on disclaimer or qualified findings, but we are concerned with the findings that are there. Go and work on them so that next year we are all green, and once we are green, we'll all be smiling. Thank you very much, Steve.
Thank you, Chair. We're going to go green, and in appreciation for the good advice and critique that we get from Council, we will be sending you an invitation, and I hope honourable members will diarise October 30, on which day we will be hosting World Teachers Day in our offices, and you will be welcome, and we will officially open those offices again. Your invites are on the way, but I suppose you could put your diary entries now. Thank you very much to honourable members, and to you, Chair, for your
honourable members, can you just get a 5 minutes break while Ilari is setting up there. Thank you.
Constantly. We're getting worried about you.
Were you?
Yeah.
I just was saying that you were good for the day, and I'll be in time for the questions.
The CFO was getting concerned. Is it? Was it bad?
No, it was not bad.
How's Patty? Good, man, good.
I'm going to go to the next one.
Hey, Ella, I'm well yourself. You know, I had that one. Now they're trying to make a simple thing of No, I picked that up, yeah.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Cheers. Thank you. And you see that sort of
issue. Why?
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. That issue
I haven't got an invite.
No, I have to go back and do all the invites.
Yeah. You guys are so
gave us good support. But then we had to
But anyway, we'll put it.
She must never listen to you.
I wish I was your friend.
Gracias.
Good morning, honorable members again, and our officials from the department. I'm saying again, then let me take this opportunity to welcome the delegation from ELRC and to express our joy for meeting you. It has been a while and we have been missed by this committee. Understanding very much that finally your diligent process is over, is through. But again, just to assure you that it does not mean that it's for the last time we see you. We can assure you that as this portfolio committee on education will always have an interest on the things that you do, and as you continue with our duties, there will always be a link on what you are doing with what you are doing. So now and again, yes, I know most of the time will be in connection with the department, but there will be instances where we'll be needing you to come and appear before us. So we are saying, yes, it might seem as if we've come to the end of our road, but definitely as we move forward, we are still going to be, our roads will still be crossing each other, and we'll still be meeting, and we are looking forward to that. You know, when ELRC gets in, you just imagine or feel that peace as they are dealing with labor peace, and that is what you are always looking forward to when you see you.
the good reports that we are going to be getting from you when it comes to the issues of labor peace, because without that, our schools won't function well. And we don't want to hear about those disputes not being resolved in our provinces. That is why you are saying now and again, we'll always want to hear from you as to say, how far are we? We have got a number of disputes that we know that are there, and with your assistance, that is where you are going to be assisting us as to say, how are you managing that peace in the sector so that teaching and learning can continue well? And just to get the status of the collecting bargaining services that you get in the provinces, give us a picture of where we are, what is happening in our provinces, the challenges, if ever there are challenges. And Honorable Rubat, I was going to go there as to say they are championing the labor peace, and looking at the delegation, we are always very happy to know that within the LRC we have got the leaders of the unions, and for us the lesson we are learning will be the peace will start within the council that is here, and we'll see it going to the provinces themselves. And by saying that, I know it is going to come up, the issue of QMS and the peace that LRC is having with the union, so that we see that being signed and moving forward, so that we can see the management systems in the schools going forward, for our teachers to do their work well, being monitored, being evaluated, and so forth. So that's the angle that we want to hear our LRC coming up with today on their presentation, and paving the way forward is to say, how best can we manage this piece that you are, that is in your hands, to make sure that there is peace, labor peace in the system. But let me not waste a lot of time. I know the introductions with LRC will be very important. Though I know LRC, I think you know all the members of the portfolio committee now. We don't need to introduce ourselves anymore. Not anymore. Okay? Mm-hmm. Honorable members, LRC do not need our introduction, except to all. That is what I needed. The fingers are pointing at you, honorable. Can you do that, please?
Thank you very much. My name is Gavin Davis. I'm a new member of the committee. I was only appointed this week, so I look forward to working with you and building a relationship with you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. But then I will allow you, Jefferson, to lead with the introduction, so that even Honorable Davis can get to know who are you and your portfolio's place. Thank you.
Thank you, and good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. It's always a pleasure for us to come and account to this portfolio committee, and on behalf of the ELRC, a special welcome to Honorable Davis. I'm Luvuyo Bono, the chairperson of the Education Labor Relations Council, and my left is Cindy Forta, the General Secretary. Will excuse you to say Foka. She's quite used to it, but she's Foka. On my far left, I have Mr. Mafora, who's the Chief Financial Officer. On my right, Mr. Jones Calorale, the Chief Negotiator for SATI. Willy Kutumela, Chief Negotiator for the DBE. And Mohale, also from the DBE, Mr. Hendricks from NAPTOSA, I did not clarify this issue whether it's here with the department or with us.
Oh yeah, he's indicating that he's not. He's not. So that's our delegation, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Bono, the time now is 10 to 12. We have got up to 1:30. So, within that time, it's your presentation and the discussion. Can you not take much on your presentation so that we have got more time for the discussion? Can I then hand over to you?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think with the number of times that we've come before the Portfolio Committee, we've mastered the art of shortening the presentation and allowing the time for the discussion, and also the skill of preempting the type of questions that will be asked. The fact that the honors have been raised has proved us right.
We will indeed be brief. We'll brush through the issues. We won't get into details. As requested by the chairperson, our presentation is going to follow the outline there, but bearing in mind that some of the issues we'll just brush through them without talking to them. Chair, so on slide 5, I think in your introductory remarks you did make mention of the fact that finally the council has been delisted from the PFMA, but however, for the reporting period, the PFMA was still the applicable legislation, hence it's listed there. I won't go through that. Our plans have also been influenced by the service delivery agreement of the minister and the department's action plan. I skip the other presentation and go straight, Chairperson, to our report in terms of our strategic goals. We are giving a brief report of the progress that we have made to date in terms of what we had said is our strategic goals. I won't go through the strategic goals, but under research, as reported previously, our main area was always ECT research on the conditions of service for ECT. We can report that we have made significant progress in terms of the in-country research, because Council took a decision that before you even look into what is prevailing in other countries, you first need to do an analysis of where you stand as the country itself. So we're nearing completion in terms of our project. Hopefully we should be having a report before the end of the academic year. In terms of goal 2, we have, Chairperson, been focusing on the proactive approach in dealing with disputes. We're talking there about us having established provincial dispute prevention committees, which is mainly to deal with the nature of the disputes that are coming up and put in mechanisms of trying to see what are the causes of such so that they are prevented at the level of them being grievances as opposed to them being escalated to disputes. We have also increased our pool of panelists, intermediaries for cases where we deal with children as witnesses, and we have also secured appropriate venues to deal with special disputes to protect the children from being exposed to the alleged perpetrators of the misconduct itself. In terms of collective bargaining processes, we are reporting that the progress registered for the period under review. We've concluded draft collective agreement on the process of acquiring organizational rights, that is to give effect to the amendments to the LRA. We have also concluded the most spoken about or talked about quality management system collective agreement. I need to make emphasis, Chairperson, here that negotiations have been concluded. The matter is not on the agenda for deliberation. There is an agreement in terms of what should be contained in the document itself. Hence, we have signatories not from all parties, but from some parties. We have also concluded a collective agreement increasing the pool of our panel of conciliators and arbitrators, that is to assist us in concluding the disputes that have been referred, as you alluded to earlier on in your introductory remarks, that is quite critical for the Council to ensure that all disputes that are referred to us are dealt with within the shortest possible time. For us to achieve such, we need to have a pool of conciliators and arbitrators so that we deal with such to prevent labor unrest. We are also reporting, Chairperson, that for the period under review, we have not had any labor unrest in all 9 provinces of the country. Even at the national level, there wasn't any strike from the educators. In terms of goal number 4, we have focused mainly on the training of our dispute resolution practitioners. Those will be your representatives from the unions and the Department of Education, as well as training for our panelists to deal with our disputes. The communication and marketing, we continue putting adverts where we get opportunity, either in the education handbooks, or we do displays and exhibitions in provincial conferences of our parties. That for us is a way of marketing the services that we render to our clientele, which is in the main is educators. We have also conducted survey research on the awareness of the council to our target, our clientele, which is the educators. So when we look at the service delivery environment, I've made mention of the fact that earlier on that our approach is more proactive. We look at ways and means of preventing disputes from escalating, and I did also mention of the fact that we have established task teams to deal with the issues coming from the nature of the disputes, and also the provincial departments in those meetings, they present analysis of the nature of the grievances so that parties can make a determination of what are the sticking points in the labor environment between the employer and the employee party at the provincial level. One major area that has been coming up very sharply in those campaigns is that we need to play more emphasis on the issues around the discipline of educators. And as such, Chairperson, our training that is currently being rolled out in the current financial year is focusing mainly on issues around the discipline of educators. We have also ensured, Chairperson, that there is improvement of efficiencies related to the resolution of disputes, especially on disputes relating to appointments and promotions, because a greater percentage of our disputes are based on appointments and promotions. The recruitment of and training of interpreters and intermediaries, those will be involved, mainly the intermediaries, in special disputes where a child is a witness. We have also secured appropriate venues. We have got an agreement with the magistrates' courts, the children's courts, the NGOs such as Teddy Bear Clinics, as well as the Department of Social Development, because the problem that we have always been reporting is that we have had postponements in cases that children have to testify, because there are certain requirements that have to be met in terms of protecting them from being exposed to the alleged perpetrator. We have also concluded collective agreement number 1 of 2015. That deals with the appointment and of the panel. I've already made mention of that. I've mentioned, Chairperson, that a greater percentage of our disputes are on promotions and appointments. So as a way of trying to address the fact that those cases must be dealt with within the shortest time frame, we've concluded a collective agreement for guidelines for our arbitrators, so that they can follow a uniformed approach when presiding over those cases. In terms of collective bargaining services, we continued monitoring the implementation of the current policies, in particular the incentives policy. And we also need to highlight once more that there is no collective agreement there. We are only monitoring the implementation of the policy itself. So there's little that we can do other than monitoring the implementation. I have already mentioned the fact that we are focusing on conditions of service for ECD in terms of research. We have also concluded work on the revision of PEM. When we talk of revision of PEM, we're talking about aligning the PEM with the collective agreements that have been concluded, so as to ensure that there's uniformity in all provinces in terms of implementing whatever that is contained in PEM, because that exercise had not been done for a number of years, and as such we sit with cases where some are still referring to the provisions that are contained in the policy handbook where PEM was printed. But there have been a number of collective agreements that have since changed the provisions of that old term. We are awaiting the minister's publication of that, and then thereafter the council will roll out training and advocacy, as well as devising mechanisms of ensuring that that document is accessible to all educators. We are mentioning again once more in passing the QMF that has been concluded by council, despite us waiting the majority signature of party. In terms of administration services, Chair, in 2014-2015, we established a functional supply chain management unit. We have developed a recruitment and retention strategy, as well as the total reward strategy that deals with salary benchmarking and remuneration policy. We have also, for the first time in the lifespan of the council, developed a five-year employment equity plan. We have utilize the services or establish the internal audit function. Previously we were outsourcing such, but now the unit is having personnel in the employ of the council itself. We have also established the SHE committee and also drafted the collective agreement on the levy increase. We are waiting feedback from our parties, because in the past we had addressed as one of our challenges the static revenue, which is not necessarily assisting us. The issues around the FETC bargaining unit, members would note that there have been developments in the amendments of the Act, the Department of Higher Education taking over the employment of the FET lecturers who were previously employed by the colleges. And as such, that requires that we revise or we amend our constitution to address those amendments in the legislation in relation to the FETC. Chair, this one, I do not want to dwell much on it. We have already touched on it. And we also take note of the fact that we had received a request to brief the committee on the developments in that regard. And we have not necessarily shy away from our responsibility. Time permits, we will come and brief the committee on that, but we are just highlighting it because the AG has also mentioned it in his report that the council has since been delisted as a public entity. In terms of the program, Shepherdson, I will only focus on the status and provide explanations where you see the red. You will take note that under administration, we are showing the red in terms of the reduction of or the minimization of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. We say we have not been able to achieve this. This is mainly due to the fact that we are not in control of the situation. You find instances where you book accommodation, you make arrangements for parties to attend meetings, but due to operational requirements, the principals of the parties would then call those representatives back to the office, and as such, they would not attend our meetings, and we sit with the wasteful expenditure. In terms of irregular expenditure, you would note there, Chairperson, that we have regressed, with regret, unfortunately, and this was as a result of us being failed by a supply chain officer, because when we look at it, despite the fact that it's minimum, the AG has to find against us because it's still there, even if it's only 145,000. This was as a result of the supply chain officer who did not obtained three quotations when services were procured. But we have since dealt with that process, and as a result, the official consent, after having been subjected to incapacity hearing, has since been demoted, but we continue monitoring the performance because demotion is not the only solution in dealing with such cases. In terms of the establishment of the supply chain unit, our plan target was to train those officials. We only recruited the officials in the month of October, which was more towards the end of the year. Therefore, training was only organized for the year that we are in. In terms of training and the development of other staff, we have overachieved. There, our target was 30, we're sitting at 52. The introduction and the employee wellness programs, we have achieved. The implementation of the council policies, strategies to market the councils, we have achieved. The building refurbishment project, we are reporting that we have not achieved. We are sitting in the orange. The indications from the project plan is that we'll be handed over our project in the month of November, but regrettable for the period under review, we had not finalized that work. Hence, we are sitting in the orange. Okay, in terms of finance and admin, we're just reporting that we were owed money by SAMS. We note it as an achievement to indicate that from the 1.8 million that was incorrectly deducted, we're sitting at 920, and the balance we're still following up, and there are good indications that we will be refunded to the money in full. We're also reporting the progress we have registered in terms of IT. The communications earlier on, I did summarize the strategies that we have put in place to market the council. Again, even the strategies to overcome the shortfalls, I also meant mention of where we stand in the current financial year. The fruitless and wasteful expenditures, so we say we introduce a cost order process in the current financial year, and we have already introduced that, so we're in the process of implementing such. I did make mention of the fact that training for the SCM officials is for the current financial year. The irregular expenditure, I explained that one. I'm on program 2, Chairperson, in terms of the performance tables. What has not been achieved in dispute resolution or prevention or, dispute management services is the issue of us concluding conciliations within the 30 days. That is mainly because of the rights that are enjoyed by parties, because despite you having to conclude the conciliations within 30 days by agreement, parties can extend the conciliation period. So therefore, it means it's not a failure by the ELRC to conclude the conciliation, but it's because of parties exercising their rights to to extend the conciliation period. Hence, we have not achieved. On the other areas, Chairperson, we are in the positive, so I won't talk in detail there. The next slide is only giving you a breakdown of the disputes that were received. We had received a total of 762. Of which 464 was in jurisdiction and 298 was out. So in real terms, the disputes received in the education sector and which were in the jurisdiction is 464. You note the graph, we're just giving you an idea of the referrals, the percentages by provinces. Eastern Cape being the highest, followed by KZN, and Gauteng being the third. Obviously, this is linked to the fact that these are big provinces compared to the others. Chair, in terms of the strategies to overcome the areas of underperformance, we're talking that there is a need for us to continue the process of recruitment and training of interpreters and intermediaries, despite doing that, but we have to continue doing the same, as well as the appropriate venues for special hearings, because once we have recorded a progress feedback there, we still struggle in some provinces to get such venues, but we are working towards addressing such. In terms of collective bargaining, Chairperson, I think here too it will be a repetition of what I've given in the summary for the service level, service delivery environment, wherein we had indicated that in terms of the collective bargaining services itself, we are sitting in the green. However, for research services, due to the fact that our focus is mainly on the in-country research, we are awaiting the report of that in-country research. QLTC, Chairperson, there we have recorded poor performance mainly because we are not in control of the situation. We have had reports of non-cooperation from some provinces and some districts wherein they would prioritize their programs and as such not afford the team, the QLTC team, to roll out the program in terms of their plans. In terms of performance at the provincial level, we are highlighting, Chairperson, a number of collective agreements. I'm on slide 41. We're highlighting a number of collective agreements that have been concluded in Mpumalanga, KZN, Gauteng, Northwest, So we can safely say that at the provincial level, we're happy with the performance insofar as the prevailing of labor peace, because that shows in the number of collective agreements that have been concluded. And earlier on, we did highlight the fact that we haven't had any labor unrest in all 9 provinces. The areas, the strategies to address the areas of underperformance are focusing more on that which will be done in terms of QLTC. But having said that, we also need to highlight that due to the fact that we were failing to achieve the targets that were set for QLTC, Council took a decision to remove QLTC from its plans. Therefore, we are simply noting their strategies, but however, we will not be following them up because they are no longer part of our plan. Chair, you will see that in the performance tables for the provinces, we are giving you an overview of what has been achieved, which provinces have achieved that, which was in terms of their plan, which mainly we focused on the issues, the post-provisioning and the That being the case, Chairperson, we also need to highlight that our plans were always limited to the framework from the National Treasury. The provinces are doing way more than what is reflected here. But however, the planning was such that we must only limit ourselves to that which meets the requirements of the framework. That is mainly linked to the reasons for us to have insisted that we be delisted. Going forward, our plans now are done to reflect the work of those chambers as informed by the Act, the Labor Relations Act. In other words, we have moved away from putting together plans that only satisfy the requirements of the framework from the National Treasury, but we are addressing that which should be done by the bargaining councils as enshrined in the Labor Relations Act. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, General Secretary, Honorable Members. The presentation is for the annual financial statement for the financial year ending March 2015, as presented on page 95 of our annual report. The first part is the presentation of the financial statement of financial performance for the period ending March, which indicates that the Council has a total contribution, or what we call levies, of 49 million rand. This is a decrease of about 109,000 rand from the previous financial year, and this also equates to an average number of contributors of 409,000. In terms of our revenue, you members will note that in the past 4 years, the levies has remained static or unchanged, and this is as a result of the rate of contribution per contributor remaining unchanged. And this also has an effect which the General Secretary has already addressed in terms of the collective agreement that has been drafted to address the issues of static revenue. The two slides, they speak to the financial performance with regard to the expenses of the council, where we have recorded there that in terms of our other income, the majority of our other income comes from the interest that we collect from the money that the retained surpluses that we keep with the CPP accounts with the South African Reserve Bank. That is an average of about between 5.5 to 5.8% per annum. And this increase is as a result of the increase in the total other income or investment income is as a result of the compound effect in our investment. In as far as personnel related expenses are concerned, the increases in our personnel expenses is a reflection of the normal cost of investment, but also the council has put a lot of effort in ensuring that all the vacancies are concluded, and at the end of year, in the end of the financial year, we had a full staff complement. With our operating expenses, this is in line with the operating activities of the council, and also in meeting its own strategic objectives and targets, as already alluded to in the presentation. members will realize that a decrease in the surplus for this financial year has been recorded. Again, this is as a result of static revenue, while operating expenses are increasing in line with your inflation, and that there is a cumulative effect if you look at the years. To address this, as we have already spoken to, that we speak to the fact that we already have a collective agreement to deal with the long-term effect. The statement of financial position, where we talk to the financial position of the council. In terms of our financial position, we are in a good liquidity and solvency state. This means that the council should be able to settle its debts should they become due in the short term. However, in the long term, we need to look at the issues of raising funds to ensure that we have financial sustainability. Our current assets, they sit at about 138 million rand, and our liabilities is about 63 million rand, largely from the short stewards liabilities. This is an ideal ratio of greater than 1%, which means that the council will be able to cover its debt should they fall due. There is sufficient reserves in our books that sitting currently in terms of our cash amount in the cash and cash equivalent sitting at about 137 million rand. There is sufficient and enough reserves in our books to ensure that in the medium term the council will be a going concern. However, going forward, we will be dealing with the issue of the static revenue to ensure that we are able to remain financially sustainable. That covers the financial report of the council. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, LRC. Cheers for the presentation on the CFO. Honorable members, you may say something on the presentation. I'm noting hands from the honorable members, Honorable Costa, Honorable Davis. For now, it's the two of you. You can come in.
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, from the presentation, you know, I won't remember names, I'm sorry. The lady on QLTC, you indicated that maybe if we meet twice a week, I'll be able to. But that's what I'm saying. I don't have interest because I know I will have a problem of remembering. Yeah. But let me know. She presented on this on QLTC. You indicated it is not in your plan. I just need clarity. Is it not? You are no longer responsible for it, or it is not part of your plan? I want to clarify on that. The second issue is the chair on fruitless and wasteful expenditure. They have indicated that they do have such plans, but that is on slide 29. I was requesting, if it's possible, that you give time frame on that, the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And lastly, the establishment of a supply chain unit, how far are you, or do you have plans to provide the most training when established? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I've just got two questions, and just forgive me if I missed this one point, but on page 27 of the annual report, it said that it's there was overspending on something called mobilizing employee services by 928. Is it million or is it thousand? Yes, it's 928,000. So that's just under a million, right? What is mobilizing employee services, and why was there this overspend? That's my first question. And then the second question is that we heard from the minister yesterday about the ANIS, and she was very resolute in having the ANIS 2015 in 2015. And I noted from the presentation that you said that you develop ways and means to stop labor disputes escalating. Now, this seems to me like something that could very well escalate, because the unions appear to be also resolute in not doing the ANIS. So what is the proactive strategy in place to stop this dispute escalating? Can you just give us some information on your proactive plan to stop that escalating? Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. I just want to raise some few issues that which also come from the Auditor General's report, wherein he talks about the slow response of management, which sort of affected most of the entities in the department, like DVE, SAFE, and ELRC were highlighted as entities that are having sort of a slowness, or they are not very proactive or responsive in terms of making sure that they are addressing the root causes of audit outcome as identified. But like within the report, I have noticed that some of the issues that were raised in the audit report, they have been responded to. But I just want to check, because now I would suppose that you would have already have had privy to the, you know, the report from your independent audit. Was it not only trying to please the committee? What you are reporting now, is it really what you are doing? Do you have a plan? Because some of the actions that are there, they are things that are long term, and that need to be followed on, so that we are able to see visible progress as time goes by. They are not really short term, all of them. I just want to check whether, you know, is it not giving the cow the right card? Are you not giving us the card? And then the Auditor General raised issues that that in terms of human resource, you are in a risky situation. Human resource, information technology, and even your financial health. The lady, when she was presenting, she said that some of the areas of irregular expenditures only related to about 145,000. I don't know whether the Auditor General was only referring to that item or generally within the department. How are the financial controls within the finance department to make sure that, you know, even that slight mistake which could have dented your image, because ELRC in the previous year was, you know, spot on in terms of the audit report. So now, because of that possibility of 145,000 rand, you have now dropped and you are classified as a unqualified audit with matters of emphasis. And then those, for you, as the Auditor General highlighted, you got the audit, the unqualified audit, because they pointed some mistakes or statements that you had to correct so that you are able to jump to the bridge, you know, to the next, you know, to the next category, you know. And then the other issue that is being raised as something that requires intervention was the issue of quality of submitted performance reports, the issue of financial statements, the issue of supply chain management. You know, I'm a bit worried, Chairperson, and I think maybe we should be clarified, because I think the report is coming out very impressive, but when you compare it to what the auditor general is talking about, you find that it creates, you know, some doubt in our eyes. And then, Chairperson, because of those small mistakes, we can avoid a lot of problems. So which we don't. And I really want to congratulate you, like this thing of the internal audit function that you have established. I think it's a step in the right direction. Also, the emphasis on the issue of early childhood development, I know that it's one area that the department wants to take forward to make sure that you know, there is improvement, and how it also impacts on the quality of education in primary, you know, like the grade one, the honors and all that. I think we must urge you to really make sure that whatever that you are doing should really, you know, provide quality and boost what the department is planning to have. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you very much for the comprehensive report that we got from you. From the CFO. Okay. I will rather leave the names.
Can I disturb you? Can you close a little bit, Honorable? A little bit. Can you switch off your... You know, Honorable Members, there is nothing welcoming and nice as being called by your name. Please, can I request that? If you don't remember, yeah, it's fine, really. Please.
I have just few questions concerned questions where it is said QLTC training commenced in the second quarter of 2014. That means all along QLTC ELRC were not so important to LTC, and now at the end you see their exit, and with all the recommendations that you have, and the more especially the non-cooperation of provinces or districts, what can you recommend on that, and how are you going to the Department of International Cooperation. On page 45, you mentioned the incentives for educators, and you said reports are available. When are they going to be available? So I want to know which incentives. Are these rural incentives? What incentives are you talking about? Because we were battling to get the real type of incentives that is administered to the educator, and who identifies that this one qualifies for this, and who is in charge of that.
you have some few progresses in that the three more special and collective agreement that you conducted. And I'm interested on the QMLS. You say you have conducted it, and what are your findings? What are the results? Just before you leave us, just to give us clarity on your findings. QMS now progressing, or still in? I don't know, I wanted to ask on that to not be in part of finding the and that was here, because that was part of the educators of two, not to sign this consent.
Thank you, Chair. I don't know if I'm speaking to the right people with regard to this, so if I'm barking up the wrong tree, just tell me. You speak about the IQMSs and all those type of things. Do you also do PMDSs for the non-educators? So that's got nothing to do with you. You do. Can we just ask, do you have any, the other test, do you have any unfair labour practices with regard to the PMDSs and so forth? Because we never see any attention being given to the non-educated, and they're just as an important part of the survival of teaching, because they are the support base. If you go to schools that have boarding facilities and those type of things, the support staff, if we can just get some feedback on that, please. Thank you.
Okay, just to hook on to what Honourable Bossoff just said, because I think that would also go for your ECD practitioners in the grade R1, that I was going to raise the same point. But I just wanted to go, I have a different opinion, although there were some matters from the AG, I thought they were addressed in a way, because we're actually dealing with statements at the year old, and in the presentation proactive steps were taken to correct all the compliance matters with relevant laws and control whatever measures it was. But may I just ask, one of your achievements that were not, or your goals that weren't achieved, was the issue of specifically getting the ECD and the grade R's. What are you doing about that? Because only one report was achieved, was received, but there's really no progress. Are you going to look at it this year, as well as the QLTC, the Empower All Inclusive and Functional QLTC, the research services on the policy and conditions of service for institutionalized only grade R's practitioners and appointment of research to conduct the research. That I think is an outstanding matter. Thank you, Chair. No.
Am I not losing anyone? Okay, thank you very much. When you are doing your marketing, your advertising, why did you only choose Mail and Guardian? Is there any specific reason? Because I'm looking at a lot of, the link is expensive. Not everyone is accessing Mail and Guardian. Sinosoles and Bauchura and then whatever. Yeah. Maybe you do have a specific reason for that. And on the issue of this research on grade up practitioners and institutionalization, I'm not sure whether you, already the research paper is out. Have you finalized that? Please share with the committee if ever that is out, because it's one of the areas that we are very much interested in. But otherwise, with the response really on the auditor's findings from the previous years, I also wanted to commend LRC to say we have seen a lot of response, and
you have done very well when it comes to that. Though you might not be coming to report to us the next financial year, but if you continue the way you have performed this year, really we'd love to commend that as a committee. Can I just hand over that to you, Ms. Foka?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think that what I'll do, where there is a commonality on the issues, I'll respond. For instance, if the issues are on QLTC, the response will be based on all the questions on QLTC. The first question was whether QLTC is in our plans or not. Perhaps to respond to that question, we need to give a brief explanation of how is QLTC constituted. QLTC is constituted by union officials and coordinated by the departmental officials. They are housed in the Department of Education. What they do in terms of the LRC, or what the LRC was doing in terms of its involvement, we were providing funding. And in providing funding, our requirement was saying, furnish us with the plans that has set targets so that we are able to see where are we directing our financial resources. So that explanation, Chairperson, in summary, is simple saying we are not in control of QLTC. It's not like a unit within the council itself. For instance, when you talk about disputes, the management is controlling that function. But QLTC is a structure that exists outside the LRC, but made up of parties within the LRC. That's where our involvement was, insofar as assisting in providing funding. But in giving funding, we did not want to give a blank check. We put a requirement to say, provide us with a plan for your target, so that we're able to be satisfied that our resources are being channeled towards an initiative that's going to make a difference in education. So in essence, we have no control at all. That is mainly one of the reasons that a decision was taken, to say there are a lot of factors that influence them not achieving their plans, of which the council is not in control of. So the best as against us putting it there and not being able to control it such that we achieve our targets, which, by the way, is some of the issues that the AG has raised, that in terms of performance information, we are not achieving the set target. It's because we were putting stuff like that which we have no control over. Hence, then, we have decided that we take it out from our plans. Currently, in our plan, which we are implementing now, QLTC is no longer there because we have no control of it. So that...
Department, I hope we are all noting what the response that we are getting from LRC, because there are so many conclusions and lessons we can learn from what is being said. For me, it goes back to you, the department, to say what is happening in the QLTC, why can't the plans be put forward and whatever. But I just want, as we continue, the department to take that point up so that even in our future meetings, it's one of the points that we need to discuss, is to say, are we seeing any movement in the era of QLTC? Are we reaping the fruits that we want to reap when it comes to that? Thank you. We may continue.
Thank you, Chair. The other question linked to QLTC was why was there only movement in the second court? I think we've given explanation there that what they cited as the reason for such was non-cooperation received from the provincial departments, wherein provincial departments will prioritize their programs and therefore not give them the space to come and do whatever that they want to go and do in those provinces. Chair, in terms of the fruitless and the wasteful expenditure, I think we have addressed that to say we've put processes in place to ensure that going forward we cap that. Having said that, we are also noting the fact that in some instances there again we have no control, because if an HOD of a particular province, to make an example, decides that the representative that was to attend the meeting at the LRC must prioritize other work of that department, the LRC can do very little to stop that from happening. What we are saying to the officials that should be attending our meetings is that we're requesting that at least they notify us in time, so that we do the cancellations, because these costs are related to accommodation not being cancelled in time. In some instances, you book shuttles. If they are not utilized, you incur a wasteful expenditure. So the amount is cumulative. It happens for the period of 12 months. I'm just making an example of the HOT and so forth. So we're saying that non-honoring of meetings is what results into us incurring fruitless and wasteful expenditure. We haven't had instances where such is incurred as a result of the officials of the council themselves, because we have a policy that says, should that happen, we recover the money in full. But we have no way of recovering where such is as a result of parties not attending the meeting. That is the issue there. In terms of the establishment of the supply chain management unit, we are reporting that we have established the unit. But however, the target was us subjecting the officials to training. Now, you have no way of doing such if you have only recruited such officials in the October month of the year, because most training is linked to the academic year. Hence, at the time of reporting, we had not achieved such. But however, we are confirming that currently such employees are subjected to training, the SAM officials. The CFO will respond to overspending in relation to the personnel costs. The earners, what are we doing as a proactive approach to prevent the dispute? I think that one is a bit tricky in the sense that we have been observing the statements issued from both sides, and what is coming up very sharply from both sides is that there are currently engagements that are taking place. We are of the view that such engagements is a way of preventing the dispute, because we would not want to interfere in processes, because we exist to ensure that where there's a potential for dispute and there is a need for us to act, we do such. But in the instances where the employer and the employee parties are on record saying that we are talking to each other directly, we do not want to find ourselves interfering and in the process messing up the engagement that is taking place. So at this point in time, my chairperson can add, we have not been given sufficient reason to believe that there is a dispute, because if parties are saying they've established a task team, they are currently talking to each other, at this point in time, we don't see that as a potential for dispute. But we are watching the space with keen interest. As and when there's a need for us to take the appropriate action, we'll do so as guided by our constitution. Chair, the issues on the AG's report, I got a bit puzzled there, because from our report, I understand that the AG's summary that is given for both the department and the entities will make reference to a range of issues, but I don't think the HR issues are related to us as the entity. Ours were specific. It was mainly the misstatements on our financial statements related to prior years, which were corrected. But however, the AG has to raise that, not that we submitted the statements that the AG was not satisfied with, and as well as the issue of irregular expenditure, which I have already spoken to at length, to say this is the action that we have since taken, and we are assuring the committee that we will revert back to our way of keeping it clean in terms of the irregular expenditure. The issue on incentives, it is the rural allowance incentives. The reports that we have are presented to us by the provincial departments in instances where that is applicable. You have a province like Gauteng. Gauteng does not implement the policy because they do not have such. So the reports were confirming that we do receive them in terms of how the policy is implemented from one province to the other. The issue on ECD, the research, where do we stand currently? I did make mention of the fact that, Chairperson, currently what we are doing was to conduct the in-country research, because you would know that this is a shared responsibility. The Department of Social Development is involved, the private providers are involved. In some instances, minimum as it is, the Department of the Education is also involved. So the decision was to say, consolidate what is happening in the country first. Then on the basis of such, come up with concrete recommendations on how a policy can be developed by the Department of Basic Education, of course working together with the other departments that are involved, that is going to ensure that the ECD, insofar as the conditions of service, is brought in line with the mainstream educators. So that is where we are. And currently we are at the stage where the researcher is finalizing the report. We will share the report with the committee via Llewellyn as and when it has been presented to council. The other question was, why Million Guardian? Chair, the response to that is not necessarily to say we prefer Million Guardian over other newspapers, but Million Guardian has got a publication called The Teacher. So as and when they approach us to say we are marketing this space, we then prepare an article to put in such. So we were only capitalizing on the fact that they've got such publication. But of course we take note of what we have raised today. It's expensive, and that is something that has been raised even at the level of the audit committee to say we need to change our marketing strategy and make sure that we utilize even the platforms of our stakeholders. For instance, we know for a fact that teacher unions have got publications that go out to the educators. We're also in the process of establishing a database for the schools, because we know that the department in most provinces has such, and that is those are the platforms now going forward we're going to be looking into. The issue of PMDS. PMDS, we do also get reports in terms of such, only insofar as the employees that are employed in terms of the Employment of Educators Act, because you get two different categories. Some are employed in terms of the Public Service Act. So our limitation is only insofar as those that are employed in terms of the EA. And such reports are presented in our provincial chambers as part of the reports on performance management. That means the implementation of the current IQMS, because IQMS is still in implementation. The QMS will only kick in as and when it has been signed, Chairperson. Then I think the other question was, where are we in terms of that QMS? We did indicate that we are awaiting the signature of that. Unfortunately, in our constitution, there's a requirement that for any agreement to have force and effect, it must enjoy the signature of the majority party. In this case, the SATU is the majority in terms of the union. But here, what we have agreed to do is that we will keep on trying to persuade them to change their mind. We will keep on trying to persuade them to change their mind, but that is insofar as we can take it. But what we will not do, Chairperson, because the other challenge here is that in terms of the Act, once you put the item back on your agenda, then you are opening up space for renegotiation. So we are trying to avoid that, because we are saying we've got a done and deal kind of a situation. Now, despite them being delaying the signing part of it, but we do not want to put the item on our agenda, because then we'll be nullifying the process that we've undertaken. It will mean that QMS must be renegotiated. So the only thing that we can do under the current circumstances is to try and persuade that to try and work with the department to resolve the issues, because they have written to us to explain their reasons for not signing the document. They are putting that as a condition for the other demands that they put on the table. So they are using it as a bargaining tool, which they are still within their rights, because that is the nature of our business. We deal with bargaining. So any party can use anything that is on the agenda to use it as a bargaining tool. That's where we stand, Chairperson. The CFO can respond in terms of the 928.
Thanks, Chair. I think with mobilization of employment, that really refers to the human resource division of the council. And in as far as the issue of the barriers in the spending, it's really the manner in which we have been doing our budget processes, wherein our budget increases for cost of living adjustment is based on the National Treasury guidelines. But of course, that is subject to confirmation through negotiations and so forth. And also, the General Secretary has mentioned earlier on that we have implemented the total remuneration of strategy, remuneration to what strategy in the council, and that also had cost implications that related to such. Thank you.
Thanks. Cheers. Am I? Oh, can I switch off? I thought you were still on the phone. Okay, thank you. Honorable members, those were the responses that we are getting from ERC. Thank you so much for such responses. I can see Mr. Kojane, you are looking at me. Yes, I'm going to give you an opportunity to say something before I take it back to the honorable members. You can come in.
No, thank you very much. Just to give an indication around the annals, to say that the unions and the department are talking, and they basically agreed on two aspects. One is around the process of mediation, as well as the formation of a task team, interministerial task team, which the interministerial task team will look into all those outstanding issues, whether they talk about the 0.5, because the ministerial task team must involve the National Treasury, DBSA, the Department of Labor as such, so that they should really be able to deal with all the outstanding matters that we seem not to be resolving. So, on the mediation process, seems to be a proposal that comes from the union around the preferred person who would lead the process. There will be a meeting that will be sitting very soon, now that the union and the department are finding each other, to look into the local support of it. That's where the matter of the ERC will be coming in. Because certainly the local authority becomes important in that particular area. So we'll be guided by that meeting. So this is how we're taking forward the process. But it does not mean that the union and the department are far apart. Once they've agreed on the mediation process, there can be possibilities of seeing a resolution on the matter. But also to say that there is progress in terms of other aspects of the works of the task teams that has been established by the unions as well as the department on other areas of work that we have agreed upon. So it's a matter that we are managing it quite sensitively at the present moment until we ensure that that process is given a chance for it to be properly resolved.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. On the matter of the QRPC, I think the colleagues from the LRC have accurately reflected the events regarding the QRPC and its involvement with the LRC. I think we have presented to the committee a program regarding the QRPC, and I think in the future we'll come back to the portfolio committee to report in that respect. And that the QRTC itself continues with those parties of the ERC from the teacher union. In the reconceptualization that has occurred is that our involvement in QRTC is broader than the teachers as well. It takes into account other stakeholders and so forth. So I think in a future meeting you will come and brief the committee as to what we had presented last time and the progress in that regard.
Thank you very much for that. Honorable members, I'm not sure whether is there anyone with the follow up? Oh, just as a question.
Our media manager, Bernice Lockton, she's extremely good in writing, so she always throws in her quotes.
You were interested on the advocate, unfortunately, he's not here. Okay. LRC, thank you very much for
the update, the presentation, I think it was so clear that you even cut us off. You know, you don't have much of questions that we want to ask you. That is a sign of the work well done. Continue with your good job. We wish you all the best. Even if you are out of the PFMA, but as you have said, when we are open, we still be looking forward to the good work that you are doing with on the one of labor peace, and really would love to congratulate your interventions on the third financial year where we have seen peace in the sector. No strikes, no, you know, it was just a peaceful year, and hoping that with the years to come, that was the situation that we'll be observing when it comes to our sector. Thank you so much. You are released. You can leave us, but also you are invited. We're still going to be having Omalusi. If you are interested in our issues and Omalusi issues, feel free. You can sit and listen, and hopefully with closing the matter of QMS, let's hope that will be done soon, so that you can see the progress when it comes to that. Honourable members, again, let us take a break, maybe for 20 minutes. Lunch is already. Just take it during the lunch, then. That's not the right. Let us have a break then, honourable members, up until 2, because Umadusi was scheduled to come at 2, so they will be here at 2. We can have lunch and relax, but if ever they are around, we'll make sure that they come a little bit earlier, but they were scheduled for 2. Thank you so much. Thank you.